I'm a rolling stone, all alone and lost. For this life of sin, I've paid the cost. When I pass by, all people say, here goes another guy, out on the lost highway.
Hello, I'm Tom Wood, out on the lost highway of rock and roll with Jason Ringenberg. What you're about to hear is an interview with Jason, recorded as we sat in a touring bus parked in Manchester in the north of England. Jason and the Scorchers have recently completed a European tour that encompassed over 40 dates in England and on the continent. Both the tour and the band's new album, Lost and Found, have been highly acclaimed, but I asked Jason if he ever became frustrated by the rock media's habit of lumping the Scorchers into a rockabilly genre also occupied by the Fabulous Thunderbirds, the Stray Cats, George Thorogood, etc.
Yeah, it's. I don't think it's a real frustration. I mean, the band is a real rock and roll band. So I got to take. You're going to get lumped into those people. It's inevitable, and there's nothing you can do about it. I tend to think it will probably last a lot longer than most of the people you get lumped in with. But I don't consider it really a negative thing, because there's a lot of press people that. Do write about the stuff that's going on in those songs. Mm. And it's an honor to have someone analyze a song in a real in-depth sort of fashion. It's just flattering, very flattering.
Rolling Stone missed the fact that Lost Highway was a
Wasn't that
song.
Hilarious?
Yeah,
it's a national publication. That was really disgusting.
And Blanket of Sorrow, they didn't seem to... That's the only review I've seen. I don't know what the NME said about it, but they... at least I get the impression Blanket of Sorrow is a rock or a heavy metal bluegrass fusion, and they seem to miss the... They don't seem to know what's going on as far as the roots side, the countryside to the music, and it seems that they miss things.
Well, the press has been good on this album. I don't know if it was quite as good as the Fervor album, but it's been good. The Stone always gives sort of middle-of-the-road sort of meaningless reviews to everything they write about, you know. So I wasn't insulted that they didn't get in depth with the review. And the same with Record, you know. The Record review was alright, but most of the really good press we got was in a regional sense, where writers are more aggressive, they're younger, they tend to take more chances. They tend to come out and say, hey, this is the best live band that there is, or this is a really fantastic record, which a national writer won't do that, because he's afraid that he'll lose his national sort of reputation or something. The younger writers are the ones that are aggressive. This is younger musicians are more aggressive, or younger business people, whatever.
Is there a dialogue? I mean, you must play off somewhat against that kind of thing. I know that the Stone reviewing Fervor, they said that they were reviewing the first version of Before You and I Got Hold of It, and the song they came down on the most was Pray For Me Mama.
Wasn't that something?
Well, I don't know, you know, that's kind of for taste, but when the album came out from EMI, that was the most changed song on it. It seemed like they had, you all together had sort of remixed the whole thing.
Oh, we had, on Pray For Me Mama, we completely did the whole song. I felt that was had nothing to do with the Stone. That was just, I felt the song was better than the performance that we gave on the original Fervor. And I considered that the song had grown a lot, and I pushed very hard for all of us to re-record it. And there was very little support for that in our camp at the time to redo it. And I said, no, man, this song's grown a lot. I think we need to re-record it and give it a better version. And I do believe the second version is better.
Jesus gives to those who give themselves. That's what she said. Do you say that now? In my arms you took until I bled, but still I went down every road you led.
Mm-hmm.
Terry Manning helped remix the band's 1983 album, Fervor, when it was reissued after the band signed with Capitol EMI Records. Manning was responsible for the production of Lost and Found as well. Jason seemed satisfied with the veteran producer.
And he's a really good cat because he knows the business real well, how to produce records. He knows what good rock and roll is, too.
He did ZZ Top.
Man, it goes back a long ways. I mean, ZZ Top, that's what people say, ZZ Top and Thurgood, but he also did the Staple Singers. He also did a lot of Memphis Stack stuff.
All right.
He also did Alex Chilton. He also played in the Bobby Fuller Four.
That's getting about before my time.
That's a long ways. You know, he's been in rock and roll a long time, so he knows his stuff.
Well, the blurb that EMI sent out said something about how he had brought in a new aspect of technology to the band or something like that. What do they mean by that?
So. Well, I think he made us sound modern without sacrificing our integrity, you know, I think.
What kind of changes? I mean, there's no sort of digital beep-beep machine?
No, just you got good sounds, you know. Like, it sounds good. The record sounds good. The guitar sounds good, the vocals and all that. Or in Fervor, it was kind of, you know, sounded kind of basement. Had a basement quality about it.
Was there anything done with the vocal harmonies on this? I noticed that they seem richer than on Fervor.
No, I think that's just part of the general. Everything sounds richer, really, on Lost and Found. Just that we had more time to get the sounds we needed and had the money and the studio time and stuff to do it right. And then Terry knows how to do it. And he's a producer and engineer. So he engineers, he sits at the board, actually. Most producers just kind of sit back and punch their little callback button, say, oh, good take or bad take, or, you know, or we need to get, you know, more commercial sound in this, and they really don't know what they're talking about, some of them. But Terry, you know, he knows all the aspects of making music, from playing the instruments to producing to engineering. He's a good musician.
Sounds like you're pretty satisfied with your label altogether.
I would imagine we're going to work with him again, if we can arrange it. He's a pretty big name now. Once again, though, the Scorchers have a tendency to predict things before they happen, and we predicted Terry Manning would be a big name, and we got him. I mean, he did Fervor, I think, for like $3,000 or something, you know, and now I would imagine he's worth excess of $100,000.
When we return, Jason talks about playing rock and roll on television in faraway lands.